In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peter meant well, but he ended up in the wrong place. His zeal led him away from Calvary. His eagerness to do something for Jesus led him away from Moses and Elijah, away from the Holy Scriptures. The Christ had not come to live atop a mountain in glory, even if that glory was divine. But the Christ came to suffer, die, and rise. And this is what Moses and Elijah were talking about, the death and resurrection of Christ. Moses and Elijah are representative of the entire Old Testament. So this is what the whole Old Testament talks about, the death and resurrection of Christ. The Old Testament is not about a bunch of laws, while the New Testament is about the gospel. But both old and new highlight and preach Christ crucified. The Old Testament is not about the Jews, while the New Testament is about all nations. But the old and new both preach Christ crucified to every nation. The blood of Christ covers each page. Both old and new are united by this golden thread of the gospel. That is the forgiveness of sins found in Christ. It united Moses and Elijah to Peter, James, and John, and it unites the saints of old to you and to me. But Peter forgot that. Consumed with zeal, he forgot the central message of Scripture. He forgot the purpose of the Christ. And so he interrupts that heavenly conversation. Let us build three shelters and stay here. The focus shifted from Christ to Peter's work. Many churches fall into this same error as St. Peter. They see a fallen world beset with sins and problems and difficulties, hatred, jealousy, discord, just to name a few, and they want to help. They know the Scriptures are the answer. But they interrupt the preaching of Christ crucified to tell you what you must do for God. Instead of the gospel, they give the law, how to serve Jesus in love, how to better get along with your neighbor, how to do things the right way, and so God is pleased. It deceives many because it has a veneer of Christianity. They hold the Scriptures up in high regard, and they mean well. They want to help. But as the saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Peter was zealous to build three shelters. These churches are zealous to help. Both strayed from Scripture because both forget that central message of Scripture, Christ crucified. That same fallen flesh dwells in you and me. Everyone who reads the Scriptures reads them with a presupposition. And that common denominator for sinful man is that this book we call the Bible, this book is about me. How I am to love God, how I am to serve God, how I am to work my way to heaven if it gets bad enough. We're not immune to this either. We too can very easily fall into the same sins as Peter and many other churches in our day. Our fallen flesh knows the facts, it knows the details, it knows what Christ did for you and for me on Calvary and in the empty tomb and his ascension and so forth. So let's just move on past that to something else. We're very practical people, and so we want something more practical for our life, something we can take away besides that Christ has forgiven me again, because our fallen flesh doesn't see how that helps. And so Satan does not mind one bit if you read the Bible every single day. In fact, Satan encourages you to read the Bible every single day, to go to church, to hear his word. But he doesn't want you to hear the preaching of Christ crucified. He doesn't want you to search the Scriptures looking for the forgiveness of sins that is found solely in Christ. He could care less if you know every detail about Scripture. But he doesn't want you to see Christ. We can stray from the teaching of God's word. You and I, just because we bear the name Lutheran, are not immune to it. Our intentions would not be malicious. We're zealous for Christ. We want to help. We want to do better. We want to do more. And so we want something else other than a pastor forgiving our sins. Something else than another sermon about Jesus dying and rising for us. Something else. Something more. Something we can do. Our intentions are good, but that road to hell is paved with good intentions. Peter jumped into the conversation, and so the Holy Spirit and the Father jumped in to interrupt Peter. They had to set Peter's mind straight. So while Peter was still talking, the Holy Spirit overshadowed them in a brilliant cloud, and the Father spoke. Peter, James, and John fell down with their faces planted squarely in the dirt, terrified. When we want to hear more sermons about us, more stories about our lives and what we do, when we shift the focus from Christ onto us, we will only end up, whether now or on the last day, we can only end up with our faces planted squarely in the dirt, shaking with fear. Nothing that we have done can appease us before God, can appease God. We can't build any shelters to hide ourselves from the presence of God. And even our own conscience accuses us, so we can't even retreat into the innermost recesses of our hearts. Not one of us will claim to be perfect. Not one of us will say that we are free from any sins this past week, that we always loved, always were kind, always were gentle. We know our own hearts. We know where we have failed. And honestly, we see only a small, tiny fraction of the sins that we commit. And so as we stand in God's presence, there is no comfort in our works, our deeds, our actions. There is no joy, no hope in what we have done. The Holy Spirit still overshadows us, and the Father still speaks to set our minds straight. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So close your mouths and open your ears. Listen to that heavenly conversation between God and his prophets. Stop talking and start listening to hear that forgiveness of sins yet again. You study the scriptures because you think you have eternal life through them. These are they that testify of Christ. Christ is your life. They're not about you and what you must do for God. They're about the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, and what he has done to reconcile you to the Father. The Old Testament is the preaching of Christ crucified. And the New Testament did not change anything, but it showed how Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old. The promises of God fulfilled in that one man who on this day shone with the brilliance of God. From Genesis to Revelation, Scripture's message is clear. Christ has died and risen to win forgiveness for you. So yes, you need to hear it yet again. Yes, you need to come and receive that forgiveness yet again. And this is really what separates this church here from many other churches. By God's grace, week after week, that forgiveness of sins is given to those who gather. To say it simply, God gives you heaven today. The focus remains on Christ and his work. You may learn nothing new this day, but your faith doesn't live on knowledge. Your faith lives on Christ and the forgiveness that he gives. And so as Philip opened the Ethiopian's eyes to see Jesus as the fulfillment of the scriptures, so also God, through his ordained minister, has opened your eyes and has preached Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins to you. As St. Paul resolved to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, so also we resolve to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We don't need the how-tos. We don't need the practical counseling or advice on how to get through another week. We need the forgiveness that only Christ can give to take away our sins from the past week. But that forgiveness does something. It's not empty word. It is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. That forgiveness changes you so that you are more patient and kind and loving and gentle and meek and humble. and selfless, so that you do live a more holy and God-pleasing life. So the forgiveness of sins is the most practical thing God could ever give to you. It changes you inside and out. It softens your heart and gives you that heart of flesh which seeks to love and please God. So as you enter this sanctuary, you see Jesus and only Jesus. You don't see the saints long ago. You don't see words on a page. You don't see your pastor. You don't see bread and wine. You see Jesus adorning every page. You hear Jesus absolving you all your sins. You see Jesus in a holy supper, ready and willing to forgive you yet again. Regardless of what you have done, he stands before you on that altar, ready to take it all away and remove it from his mind as far as the east is from the west. The Holy Spirit is still here, overshadowing. The Father still speaks. But with your eyes focused on Christ, you do not enter with fear, but you enter with joy, knowing full well what your God is coming to you to do today. By his death and resurrection, he won heaven for you. And today he comes in humility, not in transfigured glory, but he comes in humility to give you that forgiveness. Those that desire the forgiveness of sins will come. Those that want something else will stay away. But how blessed are you, for God has forgiven you yet again. He has taken your eyes away from yourself and has fixed them solely on Christ, the crucified. And though you are still in God's presence, you now have peace, you have hope, you have joy. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done for you. And now you know why Jesus told his disciples not to tell anyone about his transfiguration until after he had risen from the dead. He didn't want his apostles preaching Christ transfigured, but Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of their sins. He didn't want people looking for his glory on this mountain this day, but he wanted them to find his glory on the cross and in that empty grave. For there is no greater point of Scripture, no greater message a pastor or a member can believe than that Christ is crucified for you to win forgiveness for you. This is what unites you to the church of old. This is what unites you to your sons and your daughters, your husbands and your wife. This preaching that Christ is your Savior. Forgiveness is yours through his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.